You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Study Wednesday. Gonna be an awesome show today. I'm fired up about it. So, just so you know, congratulations to the Colorado Rockies. If you're a Cubs fan, rough night. In what, 13 innings? Could only muster one run. And are now out of the playoff. So, tough night if you're a Cubs fan in one of the great venues of baseball, Wrigley Field, in Chicago. So the baseball playoffs have started. It'll go on for a month. I like it. So not everybody's saying. Right, baseball lends itself to these incredible moments because it goes pitch by pitch, right? Frame by frame. If you like intensity, if you like pressure on people, you see a lot of it. So, good morning. I spent part of last night with the two audio clips you'll hear today, about 2 hours worth of an interview. First hour was yesterday. You'll get 2 more hours of it today, as we take a look at what, according to what I know, is the single most decorated action in the history of the Marine Corps. Now, again, others have gone on for days, and you know, certainly Iwo Jima comes to mind, right? And I believe it's Fox 27 in Korea. But When you look at the picture that is up with the battle at the of part one that I put up yesterday, and he's sitting, Jack Riley, who is a squad leader of second squad, who defended along with the third squad of second platoon, India 39. They were the security element for the company CP that was located on Hill 70. The These things have kind of popped into my head. They provided the security, right? There was the forward air controller team was there, elements of weapons company, with their platoon commander, Second Lieutenant John Bobo, who would be awarded the Medal of Honor. He's there with them, going to supervise them. Who else is there? The company first sergeant is out there because the company gunny couldn't go, so he's out there playing gunny. He's there. Got a couple corpsmen. And those are the elements of what's at Hill 70 that day. So I spent the afternoon and evening and even a little time this morning listening to the interviews. So Jack sent me a list of all the decorations, right, from Getland's Corner. Medal of Honor, 4 Navy Crosses, 6 Silver Stars, and 3 Bronze Stars. So I took that, and I was, you know, I kind of think of, okay, so what's an appropriate image? And I put that into an image. The pictures of those awards on black fields, and then the number of awards, that would correspond to the fight. And you see that all together, and you look at it, you're like, holy shit. Holy shit. So it's very cool. And one of the cool things about this battle study is Jack Riley has been a driver in honoring the 15 Marines and corpsmen that were killed. They have a reunion every other year. And we talk about post-combat related mental health. That means that leadership hasn't gone away. The leadership of that unit in Vietnam has stayed together without any internet, right? Which is not the easiest thing in the world to do, but they've done that. So anyway, I've taken the information in the that I had yesterday, if you looked at it, and I've amplified that in for hour two. So you'll see the maps are the same, just so you know. So if you're listening to hour two, you can go ahead and you'll see the same map. So if you want to follow along, and the maps are, I think, more pertinent today than they were yesterday, as he kind of goes through he'll go through the maps in the fight. I added there's a document that has pictures of all the Marines that were killed in action. And sailors that were killed in action at Getland's Corner. So you can go ahead and click on that. You know, again, the military was different then, right? Most of the Marines were 18, 19 years old. Yeah, you look at them and they're young as hell. The corporals were 19, 20. They made corporal in country. So we're a much older force than they were in Vietnam, which is amazing. And when you see pictures of them, especially when they're hanging out, so there's a list of there's a series of pictures that you'll see that have to do with that are all the Marines that were killed in action. And then the pictures are of them. Some of them are them hanging out. Some of them are portrait type pictures, but you'll see how young they are. And then I also put in there, there's an article that's kind of locked up by the Gazette. So I got a copy and I copied and pasted it into a document. It's called The Flaming Eye at Getland's Corner, written in February of 2009. You can find that, in the post, for hour two or part two. The other thing you'll see is you'll see a picture of Lieutenant John Bobo, right? And it's not his in his uniform, blah, 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 blah. It's a picture of him with little kids. There's a picture of him. It looks like they just got off trucks. They're standing around in some place. Looks like in Vietnam. And you see Marines standing there with their M14s. And they're laughing. Somebody's taking a picture. And Bobo's standing there with no cover on. And looks like he's reading a letter or reading something, smoking a cigarette. Right? Then you see another picture of him with a bunch of little Vietnamese kids. He's in a t-shirt. He's kind of kneeling down or squatted down. He's got one kid on a knee and another little kid's like holding his arm. Picture with him without a shirt. And then a small picture of him, and I'll link this to the larger images, but, he's a young guy. He's 23 years old, maybe. And on that day, he does incredible things. Does incredible things. The last picture is him holding a kid who's smoking a cigarette. The kid cannot be more than like 6 or 7 years old, and he's smoking a cigarette. And then there's another kid that looks to be about as old, and he's smoking a cigarette, too. And then there's a bunch of kids that look to be like 4 or 5 that are hanging out with him. And they're watching these kids smoke cigarettes. So, anyway, it just gives you, it takes them off the pages of history and makes them real people, which I think is important. So, you'll hear that today. This is from last night at Wrigley Field.
He should walk the second now. Walters with a base hit up the middle, and the Rockies have taken the lead. 3 straight 2-out singles. Colorado back on top.
And on top they would stay as the Rockies beat the Cubs in the National League wild card game. So again, high drama in Wrigley at Wrigley Field last night. It continues at Yankee Stadium tonight. Another great venue, but not as great as the old one was. But Yankee Stadium, beautiful, and will be filled tonight. It'll be a great place to play a baseball game because the Bronx in New York, all the history, and the Yankees and the Oakland Athletics, and the A's have been the hottest team in baseball. So. Good luck to my Yankees, but the A's certainly and are going to give them a run. The A's are evidently gonna pitch. They have a great bullpen, much better than their starting pitching. So they're gonna run their. They're gonna turn this game over to the bullpen in right from the start. Yeah, they're gonna bullpen the game, the whole game. You know, I will tell you this, there was a revolution in baseball this year, spawned by a team that wasn't supposed to be very good, that wound up being the third best team in the American League East. And I'll tell you how many games they won. They were supposed to be a below 500 team. So they're supposed to be a losing team. And, they wind up winning 90 games. Okay, that's 18 games above 500. And they did it in the most unconventional way. They didn't have starting pitchers for a lot of games. They would have a guy they called an opener, and then they'd run another guy out there to pitch about 3 or 4 innings, and then they'd turn it over then they'd bring in other bullpen pitchers. And they kind of broke the mold on doing that in the regular season as baseball. Never seen it. Never, ever, ever seen it. So, the Tampa Bay Rays, they're not called the Devil Rays anymore, but, yeah, a guy named Kevin Cash manages them. So, kind of an interesting little twist, and you'll see that tonight in the game in the Bronx at Yankee Stadium. So, baseball has, again, it sets up for these signature moments because it goes agonizingly frame by frame by frame. The other thing I want you to pay attention to today when you listen to this interview, this battle study, is all the different great leaders that that Jack Riley crossed paths with. And so he, from boot camp, right, a young kid who grew up in the South, if you listened yesterday, his senior drill instructor was a black gunnery sergeant, and he first lays eyes on him and says, oh, this is probably not going to go good for me. And he said one of the heroes of his life, Gunnery Sergeant Elliott, who was killed at Contien the week before Jack Riley and 3-9 got there. And he went looking for him, and he found out he had been killed. And they had exchanged letters, stayed in touch. He said he was just a great man. And he talks about these great men who touched his life and showed him. Captain Mike Getlin talks about in that way. Lieutenant John Bobo talks about like that. They were great people and cared about Marines, worked hard, wanted to be good at what they did, and lived up to their responsibilities. So it's pretty interesting. So pay attention to that in the interview. The other thing I want you to do is if you have any questions, write them down and send them to me. Because I'm going to begin to do with these guys kind of after the interview runs, maybe a week later, bring them back on. And do you remember Oprah for a while did this program she called Oprah After the Show? Yeah. Now I'm going to introduce that to All Marine Radio. But, you know, you hear these interviews, and I will tell you that even during the interview, they can be a bit overwhelming because you're trying to steer the interview and make sure that you talk about the things you want to talk about. But then in the midst of the interview, there's about a million rabbit holes you can go down based on comments. And they could be comments about weapons or tactics or the environment, but, you know, you can't turn it into a six-hour event. So even in listening last night, I wanted to ask, for instance, one of the things I want to ask Jack when I bring him back on is, they fought this thing for close to 6 hours. Yet no supporting arms? Like, are you fucking kidding me? Here you have an NVA unit that masses to kill you. So they present a target. That's not supposed to be able to last. Well, I mean, the fighting was close in. You don't have to drop it on them. If you drop it near them, guess what they know? Shit's coming for you, boys. The shit is coming for you. And so you offset the impact. Right? You make sure it lands, for instance, the attack comes from the north. Annihilate the tree line 500 meters north of your position and then begin to walk it back to you. Right? They'll get the message. It's coming for you. Trust me, they won't hang around long. But, I mean, nobody fires? I don't know. I have my low opinion of those in charge of 3rd Battalion, 9th Marines. And maybe this isn't fair, but I'll tell you what, if you judge them by the Marines wounded and killed at Getlin's Corner, and their direction to platoon ambushes in spite of the company commander's objection, no fire support until Butch Neal gets there, and supposedly Getlin was on the radio with him. So maybe there's some disconnect in there. And so I want to know. But if you have questions, shoot an email. Just click on the email link on All Marine Radio to email the program and shoot me the question. And we'll get Jack on next week, and we'll do Oprah after the show. So we'll do battlefield studies after the battlefield studies, and we can ask him the questions that come out of this. He'll open up some interesting cans when you hear him today. How did they treat losing that number of Marines? And you'll hear him talk about the way they treated it. So, as you can tell, excited to do today's battlefield study. And again, Jack is the one that reached out to me, sent me an email after he had listened to the interview that I had done with Butch Neal. And so, can't thank him enough for doing that. So, with all that said, good morning to you. The FBI could be done with the amplifying investigation that they've been conducting since last Friday, today. And then it will go to the jury, I guess. So, yeah. Good morning to you. Welcome to a Wednesday edition, Battlefield Study Edition. Love these days. And the United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. This has to be dedicated to Jack Riley, whose stewardship and leadership after the Battle of Gatlin's Corner, I'm sure, has helped his Marines. This program devoted to post-combat-related mental health, pretty amazing. His contribution, his stewardship, the way he's held them together. I think that wherever John Bobo are, wherever John Bobo is, wherever Mike Gitlin is, they look down with immense pride on the way Jack Riley has conducted himself. So this is dedicated to him, personally.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran and you came home and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check the weather in Marineland. No, it's not essentially marine like water weather. It's marine as in boom. Yeah, boom, bitches. Yeah, that kind of marine. Anyway, partly sunny and 75 in Quantico. Nice time of year there, honestly. Sunny and 80 at Camp Lejeune, where they continue to experience flooding. State of North Carolina, not out of the woods. Cloudy and 78 in Granbury, Texas. Clouds and 47 in Big Timber, Montana. Sun and 64 in 29 Palms. Camp Pendleton. Clouds and 64. Okinawa has 3 weather alerts, so we have to look at that. It is dark, cloudy and raining. High wave warning it currently in effect for Okinawa. A gale advisory and a thunderstorm advisory. So, not exactly a tropical storm, but it's why we investigate. Currently in Afghanistan, it's cooled off. Below 80 right now. Clear dark and 78. Yeah. Nice. Clouds and 68 degrees right now in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California. Looking for afternoon thunder showers and a high of 73. Tonight, thunder showers and a low overnight of 64. And then tomorrow, 72 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Now, I would say this. When you live in the Midwest and somebody says thunder showers, you have something definitely that comes to mind, okay? It's the California thunder showers. You might get one. So, I don't want to get carried away with this. And I would tell you there's like probably a 70% chance that it won't even happen. It's not East Coast thunderstorms or Midwest thunderstorms. It's not so much. But sometimes they do strike with a vengeance, especially out in the desert, where you have flash flooding and whatnot. So, anyway, keep our fingers crossed that doesn't happen. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back and check news headlines on our way to our battle study today. The Jack Riley said it's a pretty good example for the rest of us. Vietnam changed his life. The Marine Corps changed his life. And for the rest of his life, he's devoted himself to being better. And he's certainly done that. Very inspiring story, his story of devotion, his story about the way his life has changed and what he's done since Vietnam. So, pretty interesting. We'll get Jack on. As I said, as you listen to the interview, if you have any questions, shoot me an email, and I will go ahead and when we have him on in about a week, when we do Oprah after the show, we'll go ahead and talk about it. We'll ask him those questions. So, Don't touch that dial. More Ballroom Radio coming up next on a Wednesday, Battlefield Study Wednesday, next here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the ReadBoard page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean and feel the sting of
winning.
Though I've all hope and so be amazed.
I got people that have sent me a story twice in the space of like 10 minutes. Maybe 15. So I got an email this morning from the All Marine Radio Quality Assurance Maven, who lives in Saskatchewan, Canada. If you've never been to Saskatchewan, there's nothing there, literally. Literally, the Russians could come through Saskatchewan and nobody would notice. The northern plains of the United States, believe it or not, they don't stop at our border. They continue. And you go up into Saskatchewan, it is big and it is flat and it is farm country. Oh my God. Yeah, that's where she lives. Anyway, her name's Bev. Beverly. Good Wednesday morning, Mac. For your information, in case you see an All Marine Radio reference in my two tweets, this is why I tweeted. The article below popped up on my Twitter trends, so I went searching for at Jason Kander, who had tweeted, I suffer from depression and have PTSD symptoms. After 11 years, I'm finally ready to do something about it. An American attorney, author, combat veteran, politician, and a Democrat. I suggested that he check out All Marine Radio. So then, about 10 minutes ago, maybe 15, a friend of mine from Sacramento, California, sends me a text. Did you hear about this guy running for governor in Kansas who dropped out due to PTSD? So I sent him a snippet of the aforementioned email. And, So we'll talk about that this morning. And then the texting back and forth during the break. you know, PTSD hides other more significant symptoms. And so, and a lot of times those symptoms don't go treated because I think there are people over-focus on post-traumatic stress disorder, right? when really the underlying problem is depression. And so sometimes I think there's confusion. And those things lead, if you don't get your hands around them, those things. I mean, you look at the homelessness around the country. What is that? That's your mental health. They used to be your asylums. I hate to use the word, but we used to commit people. We don't do that anymore. And so now our streets are filling up with, and, you know, it's interesting, how do you get your hands around the homeless problem in the country? I can tell you that if you build more and you build better, you're only going to get more people. You can estimate the homeless population in your community, and you say, okay, let's find housing for them. Let's put them all in housing. Well, half of them won't live in the housing. I mean, the structure of life, they don't do the structure of life. Okay, so, and then if you have the housing, your population, your homeless population, that will go around the country in this informal web that they have, and people will hear about it, and they will go to wherever you are doing that. And I know that from personal experience. We doubled our homeless housing when I was a city councilman, and we added dental care, basic dental care, which was their number one need. So we addressed that. We hired a dentist that would work for us. I want to say it started with a day a week. And the next time, you know, we had heard that the numbers were still really high. You know, we expected to have a pretty decent vacancy rate, right? So we've gone from 100%, we've doubled the capacity. We didn't expect we'd stay at above 90%, but we did. And when we peeled the banana peel on that, we peeled it back. It was people in the region had found out that they could get free dental care, so they came. So as a local government, it's kind of a conundrum. Do we make it better and then get more? What's enough of our budget to devote to this problem? We don't want to become the regional center for homelessness or a national center for homelessness. In that case, it's we can't pay enough money. So anyway, it's a tough issue. Tough issue. And again, at the center of it, mental health. Mental health, drug addiction, it's not an easy thing. So, and then again, the frustrating part is when you try to help, you can't compel anybody to do anything. They are adults, and unless there is some kind of court ordered protection that is mandated, there is not anything you can do to compel. News this morning before we had to get to the top of the hour, and and our battle study, the F-35 airstrike that went in last week, the first Marine airstrike using the F-35 in Afghanistan, was named for the squadron commander who was killed in Afghanistan in 2012. His name was Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Rabel, and his name appeared on the canopy door of the pilots that carried out the first ever combat strikes against Afghanistan. And then later in the afternoon, photos were published on the DOD's website. So he was killed. Actually, he was driving in on base. Commanders will have cars. We joke, right? The gunner had one that he took from a State Department guy. So, and they're, Toyota, whatever. It might be an SUV, so you can get more people in it. It might be a sedan or whatever. But they're at a premium, obviously, because there's not that many of them around, but squadron commanders. So he had one, and he had a radio. And as he was going back, I think, to his quarters in the evening, he all of a sudden his radio crackled, and that the squadron's hangar and CP were under attack that had been orchestrated by the Taliban. So anyway, they had breached the perimeter of the base, and now the Marines were fighting at the squadron headquarters. He turned around and went back and was killed. Lieutenant Colonel Chris Rabel. He was the commanding officer of Marine Fighter Attack Squadron 211, also known as VMFA. So if you want to decode that, it's V stands for fixed wing, right? As opposed to H, got it, which would stand for helicopter. There you go. VM Marine. F fighter A attack. So you might have VMF, which would be a fighter squadron, or you might have VMA, which would be an attack squadron, or you might have air platforms that do both. In that case, they would be VMFA, which the F-35 is. All right. He was killed on September 14th, 2012. So so congratulations to those guys, those Marines. Well done. The story of being non-deployable continues to rattle around the military. The Secretary of Defense is not a game player. Okay, I think you saw that. I think, again, I think that he did the right thing relative to the transgender issue. You know, it's about being deployable. Okay? So if you have life issues that make you non-deployable for years, your life is not compatible with being in the military. And whether that's your gender, whether that's a knee or your back, that's not what the military does. All right? So interesting statement. A commander is not required to wait 12 months, said Patricia Mulcahy, the Pentagon's director of officer enlisted personnel management. And then in July, there was additional guidelines issued. The Navy uses the term limited duty or light duty, while the Army uses on profile to describe service members who cannot deploy, Mulcahy said. And it took a while for the department to reconcile those terms. In addition, because of the way the Navy deploys, often with full medical facilities on bigger platforms, a health condition that might sideline a soldier does not necessarily sideline a sailor, Mulcahy said. Now we're tracking at the department level month to month, Mulcahy said. All of the services are tracking in some shape or form. So interesting. Secretary Mattis is hell on non-deployers, which means you can't pull your share of the weight. This story made the rounds yesterday in that Ryson was sent to the Pentagon. Secretary of Defense and the Navy's top officer, the CNO, had packages addressed to them and that are suspected of having ricin. At least two packages mailed to the Pentagon this week are believed to contain the poison ricin, and the FBI is now investigating them. The packages were addressed to Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis and CNO John Richardson, Admiral type. Defense officials said, on a condition that they not be named. The packages triggered alarms Monday as they were undergoing security screening at a mail processing center that is on the Pentagon campus but not inside the building. It's suspected to be ricin, Pentagon spokesman said. The envelopes were taken by the FBI for further analysis, said Pentagon spokesman Army Colonel Rob Manning. The Pentagon mail that arrived with packages on Monday is now on hold. As you may expect. So you know what? A reassuring story, right? People paying attention on their JOB. The USS Arizona Memorial has closed. All right, this story from the Associated Press. The USS Arizona Memorial at Pearl Harbor will be closed for the rest of the week after the floating dock where visitors depart to the site became partially submerged, according to the National Park Service. Boat tours to the World War II Valor in the Pacific National Monument in Honolulu stopped Sunday after the 180-foot concrete dock slipped below the water overnight. Repairs have been estimated to take a week, but the damage was still being assessed, according to Park Service spokesman Jay Blount. So if you're headed to Hawaii and you're looking to take in the sights, you may not get to see them. And here's a story about a couple of stories, one about the VA and then rising Democratic star steps away from politics to treat his PTSD. I don't think that's the appropriate headline. But is that the one that will get people to click? Is the underlying story that really it's not his PTSD, it's his depression? Well, we just rolled them all together. Well, I don't know that that's accurate. Afghanistan war veteran Jason Kander, a rising Democratic political star vying to become the next mayor of Kansas City, abruptly quit the race on Tuesday, saying he needs time out of the spotlight to deal with his military-related depression and post-traumatic stress disorder. In a statement posted on Medium, whatever that is, Candace said he has been in contact with Veteran Affairs Support Services for months, but worried that acknowledging his personal struggles could damage his political career. I knew I needed help, yet I still stopped short, he wrote. I was afraid of the stigma. I was thinking about what it could mean for my political future if someone found out. That was stupid, and things have gotten worse since. Candor 37 said he used the VA crisis line just last week after having suicidal thoughts, despite positive news about his mayoral campaign in Kansas City and a recent book deal. He said that he felt unworthy of claiming significant mental health problems because I didn't earn it during his time in the Army. I'm done hiding this from myself and from the world, he wrote. Quote, I decided to be public for two reasons. First, I think being honest will help me through this. And second, I hope it helps veterans and everybody else around the country working through mental health issues realize you don't have to try to solve it on your own. Candor narrowly lost, I knew I knew the name, the 2016 U.S. Senate election in Missouri to Republican Roy Blunt, but was praised by Democratic Party leaders as a figure to watch given his strong performance in a predominantly Republican state. He was considered to be the frontrunner in the mayoral contest in Kansas City. He enlisted in the Army National Guard after September 11th attack and volunteered for deployments to Afghanistan in 2005. His book about his time in the military, Outside the Wire, 10 Lessons I've Learned in Everyday Courage, was published this summer. In his statement, Candor said, When I wrote in my book that I was lucky not to have PTSD, I was just trying to convince myself. Interesting. One other kind of VA-related story, although Candor's not related to the VA, Candor's more related to himself. So the question is it underlying depression, which is structural in nature, or is it PTSD, which a lot of people can handle? So we'll certainly follow the story. And again, I've been, again, in talking about trauma and the way it affects people, I would differentiate trauma from structural mental health issues. So when people say, well, are you against therapy? No, I think therapy is appropriate for people that have mental health issues, right? I think the majority of people can be trained to deal with traumatic episodes that darken their doorstep. If it's only 30% of combatants, right? I'd be curious, that's of the force. I'd be curious what percentage, and I don't know how you cannot come back with quote-unquote PTSD if you're in a combat unit and you fight and you see what happens. How are you not deeply affected by that? Which would meet the definition. So a lot of people don't go get diagnosed. A lot of people just, put the monkeys in the closet and shut the door and don't go near it. In fact, Jack Riley and I talk about that. You know, don't let the monkeys out of the cage. That's Vietnam. That's Vietnam and before. That was the mental health. That was the way. Stuff it in there and don't go near it. You've heard Cal Humphrey. In fact, I'll play Cal Humphrey for you right now. I'm a fountain of this stuff. Listen to Cal Humphrey. And Cal Humphrey is PFC on Iwo Jima, and I interviewed him a couple years ago. And I asked him if this would bother him. And I think this starts off with, oh, it'll keep me awake for a couple nights, but you'll hear how he deals with it. Stand by. Cal Marvin, PFC from Iwo Jima, lives in Missouri.
I don't give a shit if you tell me, yeah, don't ever call me again. I don't care if you say that. I'll call you and bug you and drag you back on this program.
Yeah, this doesn't bother me much. I'll lay awake a night or two, but then I'll get out in a hurry.
Did you have very many mental problems when you came home? I mean, we call
never
it...
had any. But I'll tell you what I did. I didn't go to any conventions.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't dong to the goddamn place where they all went up, you know, got drunk with the those. Everybody joined those.
With the Legion and the VFW?
Legions, you know, American
right.
Legion.
Right.
I joined and sent them my money, and I still do, but I don't go in the joint. And I don't go, you know, I don't go talking war talk to everybody. I just forgot it and left them alone. And I just had two buddies that I visited once in a while when I went to Phoenix. They both lived there. And that was my, the limit of what I did about it.
That's him, that's Cal, keeping the monkeys deep in the cage.
But now, I don't think I didn't dream about it a hell of a lot, but I'd get up and read a book or something. I didn't lay there and suffer. So I got along great.
The Cal Humphrey from Iwo Jima. Put the monkeys in the cage and don't go near them. I would differentiate, I would say that most people that are exposed to severe trauma can get through it if they're mentored and if they're coached, right? If they're trained. Because the vast majority don't go near the diagnosis and aren't diagnosed with it. But I don't know how you can participate in any of it without being traumatized, by definition traumatized. So when people ask me, I say that the zombie cocktail and the group therapy and the talk therapy, they're overprescribed. I think there's better ways out there. But when people have structural mental health issues, right, depression being one of them, PTSD has a tendency to mask that, right? First of all, get your hands around the depression, right? That's significant. That requires possibly medication, right? And it requires, you know, it requires mental health professionals, psychiatrists and things like that to help them, right? And then you can deal with the PTSD down the road, right? Or maybe you deal with it simultaneously. So, but depression tends to be a more complicated event, I think, than dealing with trauma. So, and it's structural. So, anyway, interesting stuff. Another headline is, we're going to go long today, so just so you know, TriWest takes over VA community care programs nationwide. What does that mean? Veterans Affairs officials announced Tuesday that TriWest Healthcare Alliance will take over nationwide operations for the department's main community care programs, despite concerns raised last month about overpayments to the company. For the last 5 years, operations for the department's primary two outside care programs, patient-centered community care and the Veterans Choice Program, had been operated by TriWest and HealthNet Federal Services. The new contract extends TriWest partnership and names them as the sole provider until the two programs are replaced next year with a new overarching community care program mandated in the VA Mission Act, which President Donald Trump signed into law this year. VA officials praised the contract as ensuring that veterans will not see disruptions in their health care in the coming year. So, in theory, this is a flight to quality, okay, which TriWest is supposedly better at providing these services. If you talk to people that deal with the Veterans Choice Program, constant frustration at the level of bureaucracies, the number of people that have to approve, them getting, you know, their hemorrhoids taken care of out in town. So, that story. So we'll keep tabs on that. Top five stories, early bird. One is the Ryerson story. So we've discussed that. Two, U.S. military on standby to evacuate consulate in Iraq amid threats from Iran. Iran is, again, they fired their whatever missile. they're saber rattling after their prey got schwacked. Right? They've got internal strife. Their parade got schwacked. So now we're going to focus everybody on something external. So anyway, U.S. military forces in Iraq are standing by to help evacuate the U.S. consulate in the southern city of Basra after the State Department's recent decision to temporarily close the facility because of threats made by Iranian forces. Quote, if American lives are at risk, then the Defense Department will take prudent steps to relocate the personnel from harm. Army Colonel Sean Ryan, a spokesman for the Combined Joint Task Force Operation Inherent Resolve, told reporters at the Pentagon on Tuesday. In mid-September, three Katyusha rockets were fired at Basra's airport, which houses the U.S. consulate, by a Shiite militia after it vowed revenge against Iraq protesters for setting fire to the Iranian consulate. So, yeah, our consulate gets rocketed after the citizens who don't want the Iranians to take over their city because they don't have basic services and Iranian-led politicians have been in charge, right? So we got rocketed. Iran launched several ballistic missiles on Monday of this week targeting eastern Syria. Targets, they said, were blamed for the attack on a military parade last month. So, anyway, Iran acting stupid, which they do, in an effort to distract from the issue, which is their shit's falling apart. Yep, and everybody knows it. Number three, NATO ambassador clarifies, I was not talking about preemptively striking Russia. Russia should not fear a preemptive strike by the United States, a top American diplomat said hours after she threatened to destroy illicit Russian cruise missiles. If you didn't see the headline, you saw the headline, you're like, what? It's awesome. I think this stuff is funny for whatever reason. I was not talking about preemptively striking Russia, Ambassador K. Bailey Hutchison, the U.S. representative to NATO, tweeted on Tuesday. My point, Russia needs to return to INF treaty compliance, or we will need to match its capabilities to protect U.S. and NATO interests. That message moderates her earlier warning that the United States might feel compelled, quote, to take out a missile that could hit any of our countries in Europe. Now, I'm not really sure how you misconstrue that one, but good thing she clarified, okay? Good. K. Bailey Hutchison. There's a name you've heard of before. Number four, Britain confirms talks with Boeing over potential $2.6 billion wedge-tail aircraft buy. The wedge-tail is an E-7 airborne warning and control aircraft. So, good news if you're a shareholder of Boeing. Congratulations. And then number five is a story about the Department of Defense beginning to implement their deploy or get out. And again, as somebody who deployed, it's a joke. Some of the people that loiter on active duty, suck down a paycheck, right, get promoted, all the rest of that bullshit, and never, never deploy. That's a look at the news this morning. So stand by. We'll take a break. When we come back, you'll hear Jack Riley, Corporal Type. You'll hear part two and part three, about 2 hours. So a little bit of bonus coverage. And as I said before, here's a warning. Write down your questions. And then with your questions, send it to me, and I'll get Jack to come on, and we'll answer those questions. I'll tell you this. You know, some of the things that, you know, that I'd like to ask Jack. Is that, you know, when you got back, did you have to inventory all the personal effects of your Marines that were killed? Or had somebody else done that. All right. The so again, as you listen, if you do have any questions, by all means, write them down. We'll get Jack back on the program, and we'll go ahead and ask him those questions. Because those are kind of the things that, you know, I'll listen to certain interviews I've done, and I'll think, God damn, why didn't I ask them this? So anyway, I try not to beat myself up too much about it. All right, so don't touch that dial. More Ball Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends, these are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.